I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
He said you were
racist.
He said you were very racist.
He said
you're going to be dealt with.
He said he works for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, October 5th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, in simple terms, let's just say we have a de facto government that operates in direct contravention to the founding tenets and principles that established the documents and government itself. So it's, but that's the way pretty much everything works in our society these days. You know, we hear one thing and we see another, and I think that we are intentionally being driven to schizophrenia, to psychosis. Cognitive dissonance, you know, Fred in Iowa used to like to remind us that it's cognitive dissonance. And for a while now, I've been saying, I think that we should not use that term because it sounds more kind of, it's sexier than just to say that we're schizophrenic. I like how James put it, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There you go, period. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why not? Being a double-minded man, and then this, unstable in all his ways. That's something to probably kind of ruminate on. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I think we could make the argument that today in America, if you have looked at and spent any time sort of thinking about our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for example, just those right there, if you spend any time looking at those, perhaps investigating further in the Federalist Papers and letters and things that were exchanged and so on and so on. It doesn't take you long to really, if you're looking at those things without trying to put any spin on them, it doesn't take you long to see that the situation we're in now sort of reminds you of the list of grievances in the Declaration of Independence. It certainly does me. So what happened? How did we get here? What do we do about this? That's an interesting conversation. I'd like to talk about that today. And, you know, while I'm... We'll talk about that a little bit and, you know, where we are, how we got here, and what is, you know, what is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? While we're talking about the double-minded man, the doubting man, he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What does it mean? Just in simple terms, this, to me, the discussion, there is no separation of, you know, biblical and constitutional. But there was, I think, one of the most subversive and misleading things that has happened is that we have somehow come to some kind of notion that there is some kind of separation. You know, a lot of church folks have been led to believe that there is a, you know, there is some kind of a division in the world. Like there's the secular and the spiritual, or the secular and the religious, or something like that. There is no such division. There's just one life, one existence. And the sooner you can reconcile that, speaking of a double-minded man, the sooner you figure out that there is someone or other seems to be trying to encourage us to believe otherwise, which is the source of all kinds of chicanery and hijinks. So without going off on a tangent there, speaking of the double-minded man, God does not think very highly or favorably at all of the doubting folks. And in Revelation 21, and by the way, there's a lot of confusion in the church. The Christian community has been led to believe that the church is the bride of Christ. That is absolutely false. It's not biblical. If you think it is, please chapter and verse it and share it. Before I get to this double-minded bit, I will prove that. Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." There you go. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. There you go. What the well-meaning Christians don't understand is that if you say the church is the bride, then guess what? You have just put yourself in a de facto replacement theology position, which is also very not good. It's heretical. And, you know, I said yesterday something along the lines of Christians are not, you know, much more than messianic Jews, so to speak. It's a figure of speech. I don't want to get into the weeds on controversy. The point is that all are one in Christ. And so you read, for example, Romans 2, Romans 9, etc., and maybe you kind of get that point. Anyway, speaking of the double-minded man, Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, backing up a couple of verses from where I was. "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But, verse 8, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable," this is the NASB 95 translation, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I dare say that Fred in Iowa would appreciate the reference, the mention. So, but the cowardly and unbelieving, the cowardly and unbelieving, these, you know, this is the person who does not trust God, who doubts, who does not have the faith of a child. And the way that that works in my mind is simply, Dad, you said. We have been encouraged to believe, particularly in this society, in this age, that somehow, you know, we are God. It depends on us. It's an interesting thing. A lot of people have talked about how, kind of in the Gnostic tradition and in the Jewish mystic, you know, Christian mystic and Jewish mystic traditions, along with Eastern mysticism, that there is this concept that creation and even the Creator, without getting into the weeds of the specific different cults and things, that the creation, even the Creator, needs our help to put things right. That is absolutely false. That is the opposite of true. And so, you know, because of that, there is this creeping view that we are gods, and we can, you know, you hear it, you see it in different kinds of ways, and we have to do this or that. You know, I think it's a staple of the so-called patriot community that we have to do this or that, which to me is sort of patently Gnostic anyway, because if we just know a little more, if we can just answer a little more questions, or we can respond cleverly enough to things, or if we can just convince or persuade enough, which is what, you know, the devil is doing, by the way, then we can fix things. And I would maintain that it is first and foremost a spiritual battle. That being said, there are literal, physical, tangible aspects of where we are, what has happened, and perhaps what could be done that we can discuss, I think. And so I think we'll do that today. Anyway, to finish this thought, again, it's interesting to note that the first folks that are being dealt with here in Revelation 21, the cowardly and unbelieving, those are the first that are, that type of person is the first that is addressed. Those who, and it reminds you of, you know, the lukewarm church that Jesus himself addresses. Take a stand. Determine what you believe and take a stand. That's what you see in, and that's not a call to, you know, Marxist revolution. That's more of what you see in Ephesians chapter 6, for example. Standing fast, basically, Paul reiterates, I think, three times, so that you can stand in the evil day. It's not a call to go out and do something per se, but to be able to stand fast, steadfast and resolute in your conviction. And this also reminds me of Romans 14, which I mention often. Each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. Is the day important? Is the food important? Is this important? Is that important? Should I abstain from this or that? Should I not eat this? Should I not drink that? Should I not do this? Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So, interesting things. All of this connotes a sort of sober-mindedness. And on that note, I think we should probably play a clip. Former frogman, Chad Wright, former Navy SEAL, how to fix our nation, the solution you don't want to hear. Can we do that, please?
What's up, YouTube? Welcome back to another episode of Truck Talk, your favorite segment on YouTube. Thank you for being here, man. Love this community. Love seeing you guys comment. Love seeing you show up to listen to what I have to say. It means a lot to me. I hope this is something that we can continue doing. We don't get shut down. This episode, as usual, is brought to you by me, inspired by Chili. Y'all know the deal. I got a message for y'all today, man. Y'all know I posted a video a couple of weeks ago about the solution to violent crime in America is you. You're the solution. Y'all all remember that video? If you don't, go back and watch it. And I look at y'all's comments, man. I want to get the temperature of what's going on here in the community, a truck talk. And I saw a lot of comments, man. And I'm telling you that you are the solution to violent crime in your communities. And I see a lot of people on there still chiming in saying, nah, the problem is that the district attorneys won't prosecute criminals the way that they should. No, the problem is the justice system. No, the problem is the judges. Not, and you know what you guys, a lot of you guys showed me? You don't really understand the power of personal, striving for personal excellence and extreme personal responsibility. We've talked about it before, that individual ruggedness that Americans used to have, that extreme personal accountability that Americans used to have. We used to take dominion over our space. We were skilled, capable, knowledgeable, and unafraid. And you guys don't understand that that is the solution to all of our problems. That is the solution. But you don't want to hear that, man, because you're a lazy sloth and you're weak-minded. And you don't want to hear that the solution requires action on your behalf, requires work on your behalf, requires you to change, requires you to be engaged, requires you to be capable. You don't want to hear that, man. You can't think any further than the government solving your problems for you. And I see that in the comments. Let me tell you something that is absolutely true. The government will never solve a single problem that you have. All the government will do is increase the problems that you do have and make them worse. And as long as you're thinking that the problems that we face can be solved by government or by the right president or by the right district attorney or by the right judge, you are a fool, man, because you don't understand this all hinges upon each and every citizen taking extreme personal accountability and ownership of their own actions. It requires us to all work. And that's the daggone truth. And if you can't get that through your head, you're part of the freaking problem, man.
All right. We're going to jump off there and head into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. right. So we heard from Chad Wright. That's good stuff. We all have, you can hear, I think, shades of Jocko Willink in there, extreme ownership, that kind of stuff. But this was not by accident. None of this was by accident. I'm sure Chad Wright probably knows that to some extent. You know, if you listen to John Taylor Gatto, for example, you know that the plan was to create a nation of obedient workers, and there's a eugenicist bent in there as well, you know, to get rid of the useless folks, to sort of retard the productive class and the productive output of the country. We were extremely proficient and efficient and productive about 100 plus years ago. And that just wasn't good for business, for the those who fancy that themselves are betters. You know, Rockefeller and friends, for example. And so they went to work retarding productive output and people's mental capability. Now you see people on social media talking about Common Core math, which I think is an oxymoron. Common Core math, those two terms should not be mentioned together in the same sentence, other than to say perhaps that is idiotic and silly and counterproductive, counterintuitive. I would call it guessing more than anything. It looks like guessing to me. I keep guessing closer and closer and closer. Anyway, this has all been part of a plan. And to get people to rely on the nanny state in Claude Piven strategy sort of fashion has been the agenda. To rely on the nanny state, not to trust ourselves, not to trust one another, but to hope and pray and believe that some nanny state in the clouds is going to take care of us. And what most people don't really come to terms with is, again, I think one of the best examples in my mind is Exodus chapter 20 that proves that we have, you know, that is sort of our natural tendency. If we don't apply constant effort in opposition to this, to these forces, it's kind of like the forces of entropy. What Chad Wright was saying is kind of the natural tendency of man. We want to relax. We want to take it easy. We want to, you know, we don't want to deal with the reality of what God said in Genesis 3, that now because of the curse, we will have to toil and till the soil and all these kinds of things. That's a reality of our very existence now in creation because of the fall. But we would rather not think about that. And so that's kind of the natural tendency. You know, Exodus chapter 20, in my mind, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. He's disciplined. He has integrity. You know, he's been through the refiner's fire. He's been, you know, had a few washings with the fuller soap, basically. And so he comes down and he says, let's go talk to God. It's going to be great. And all the people have not been through that process, do not have the same character and integrity. And so they say, what? Are you crazy? You talk to us. Lest we perish, we got a party to get to. Can we wrap this up? You know, usually the services don't last this long, Moses. Can we hurry up and wrap this up? We got a calf to make. We got a party to get to. We got stuff to do, man. That's the natural tendency of mankind. How many Americans do you know?
You are tuned in to the Republic.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
What would happen if we all engaged in the kind of extreme ownership that Chad Wright is talking about? You know, and I think the Bible advocates this as well, which is sort of kind of a parallel point to what I was talking about in the opening moments of today's broadcast, the first hour. So let's move on a little bit, perhaps. Kind of back to yesterday a little bit. Earlier this week, I've mentioned, you know, as we have talked about, I guess, you know, backing up to Tuesday. We made it through yesterday, and nothing strange has happened yet, to my knowledge. Nothing too terribly strange. So on Tuesday, Patricia in Florida asked, you know, do you know anything about October 4, that was tomorrow, on Tuesday, it was the next day, it was yesterday now, but I said, you know, referring to the nationwide emergency alert test, obviously, and so we talked about that a little bit. On that day and yesterday, I mentioned the drills that have gone live, among other things, you know, other hijinks and chicanery. And I mentioned the 2015 Paris attacks, but I couldn't remember the gentleman's name, you know, the interview, the infamous interview that actually aired on BBC. And it was Patrick Pelu. Patrick Pelu is an interesting character. So, duper's delight in full effect. The Paris attacks, if you are not, you probably remember, I don't know, something's happening to me. My memory seems to be slipping. Everything is not, you know, automatic recall, which is fun and exciting. Anyway, you may recall that the Paris attacks happened on Friday the 13th. Friday, November 13th, 2015. That was an interesting year. There was a lot going on. Earlier that year was the Charlie Hebdo shooting, which, what do you know, Patrick Pelu was part of that too. He's not just an EMS doctor. He's also a journalist. What? Which makes absolutely no sense. But let me just, so, you know, part of the Charlie Hebdo shooting, there are the Paris attacks on Friday the 13th, November 13th, 2015. Just 310 days later or so. From the Wikipedia entry for Patrick Pelu, this is on his Wikipedia entry. He immediately, so this is after the Charlie Hebdo episode, Patrick Pelu immediately phoned French President Francois Hollande to tell him what had happened. Got the President of France on speed dial. And that's not weird at all. I mean, I shouldn't be suspicious of that at all. What's most astounding to me about Patrick Pelu and his Wikipedia page is what is not on his Wikipedia page. Barely a mention of the Charlie Hebdo episode. Zero mention of the 2015-11-13, the Friday the 13th Paris attacks. By the way, you will perhaps recall that the Paris deal, the weapons traced back to a company called Century International Arms, CIA, an arms trafficking outlet that was at one point anyway headquartered in Florida, Broward County, I believe, and was also, you know, the family members of the leadership of Century International Arms had kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School or whatever the heck we're calling it now. So that you can't, you know, search things accurately anymore in any search engine because those things go away when you keep changing the names of stuff. Kind of like Muammar Gaddafi's name got changed 57 times after he was assassinated. Now you can't even hardly find anything anymore. I digress. So, well, let's see. Can we, I don't see where this is showing up. I tried to send the clip over. Let me see if I can do this again. I don't see it. Let's see if I need to do it again. That's not going to work. That will though. So this is kind of where we are how we got here a little bit. You can sort of intuit how we got here a little bit. But, you know, this is speaking of wild and dystopic and how upside down and backwards things are in America and what we can do. You know, I feel like we played the clip at the beginning of the show of Chad Wright saying how to fix our nation, the solution you don't want to hear. It's personal responsibility and accountability. And what do you know? I guess that's kind of that's the deal. When you are allegedly, supposedly, ostensibly self-governing, a government of the by the people, of the people, for the people. Really? We are in America today, we are the cliche of history, very happy to be ruled. The short version, not to skip ahead, the short version of how we got here is some intriguers, some satanic minions over the last several centuries. It didn't just start May Day 1776. It had been going on much longer than that. But some intriguers decided that the best way to sort of shake people loose from the concept of monarchical government, primarily, was to create a little bit of hardship to drive people to the New Atlantis. That's here. And, you know, coercive engineered migration type stuff. So those people flee the oppression, that, or at least that's the story we're told. And they come here so that they can worship God freely. And you know what? We should be self-governing. We don't want a king telling us what to do. Well, I'm kind of in the camp with what's his name? William Guy Carr, you know, after examining what's been going on for a while, I think maybe monarchism isn't such a bad idea. In fact, just to kind of, you know, cut to the chase, if you're a Christian, then you don't have a dog in the fight, do you? Because, like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said that. So now what? That's a whole different discussion. So we've been led back. So the point is, what happened here in the New Atlantis is that we were beguiled, because these characters are playing the long game, and by long game I mean return to Genesis 11 to finish the great unfinished work that God disrupted. We're going to build a tower. We're going to overthrow God. Let's do this. You see all kinds of biblical evidence of that. So that's the real long game. And so in this case, the idea is to balkanize the world, to create some feigned or synthetic or artificial pressure. It's real pressure, but it's not organic. It was manufactured so that you can drive people to the New Atlantis, create this thing, have this idea of, you know, the Fabian democratic socialist concept be circulated around the world in ancient Greek Hellenistic sort of fashion, going around and, you know, assimilating everything to itself and then imputing back or imparting back what imprinting basically on the places wherever you go, whatever you want there. In I would say patently sort of communitarian fashion, you know, reflexive. It's always changing. We, you know, the only rule is that, and that's the administrative way. You know, the only rule is that there are no rules, and we reserve the right to change the rules whenever we want. whoever the ruling class happens to be. So the idea was to balkanize people, to upset them a little bit, to get them thinking that they shouldn't be ruled by a monarch. That is exactly in keeping with those 6 points that Nesta Webster mentioned in World Revolution, or that she pointed to the plan of Illuminism as codified by the 6 points. From Robeson's Proofs of a Conspiracy. And so the formula, the 6 points are: abolition of monarchy and all ordered government, abolition of private property, abolition of inheritance, abolition of patriotism, abolition of the family, morality, the institution of communal education, etc., and abolition of all religion. Why? You create a vacuum. And then, so what fills the vacuum? Enter Pike's letter to Mazzini and the Third World War and the reaction to it. So, anyway, back to Patrick Pelu, Duper's Delight, Friday the 13th, 2015 Paris attacks, weapons, complements of the Gladio, archetype, weapons complements of the Gladio network. And, Patrick Pelu talked about it. Can we play that clip, please?
I spoke to a leading emergency doctor in Paris, Patrick Pelu, who wrote, as it happens, for the Charlie Hebdo magazine and found himself first on the scene on those shootings in January. And on Friday last, he led a team at the emergency hospital where he described to me what it had been like as the dead and the wounded arrived in droves.
We have some bullet holes with some hemorrhage, very important, very big lesion in the thorax, in the abdomen. Yeah. When they have a lesion in the head, it's finished.
Dr. Pelu thinks that he and his team saved perhaps 50 lives on Friday night. Perhaps in part, and this is extraordinary, because he was preparing for what happened only a few hours before the attacks began.
We work to a scenario of an attack. We know since Charlie Hebdo and Hypercacher, they take Kalashnikov and they kill everybody, like in Call of Duty, the game, stupid game. So in the morning we have this exercise.
So exactly what happened?
Yes, yes.
On the very same day?
Yes.
What an amazing coincidence, huh? Amazing. We're running this drill and all of a sudden the drill goes live the very same day. Can you imagine? What are the odds? The odds are impossible. That's what the odds are. And then again, from Patrick Pelu's Wikipedia page. Let me go there. It says during the Charlie Hebdo shooting on January 2015, he was near the magazine's building. So he was one of the first people on the spot after the shooting, having been called by someone who worked for the magazine. He immediately phoned French President Francois Hollande to tell him what had happened. He saw that some of his friends were dead and provided first aid to others. So, he has the French president on speed dial. Who is this guy? This whole story reminds me of Batman, Mike Gogan, at the Route 91 Harvest Festival stuff. Guys like him there. What was he doing there? I mean, is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But, Batman says, hey, I was there. And, same thing. I was saving people. And he really does think he's Batman. I thought it was funny. When I first heard the story about him, I said, wow. Because I knew about him before I heard that he was in the Flathead Valley area in Montana. And that was quite a shocking discovery. But I knew about him from his Sequoia Capital days and the, you know, trafficking of his girlfriend story. And that was apparently why Sequoia Capital said, we got to distance ourselves from you, dude, because this doesn't work for our image. We have to at least give the appearance of, you know, propriety. But it's quite a story, and she was fighting quite a legal battle, apparently, until the money ran out. But, you know, he agreed to pay. He agreed to a $40 million settlement with her initially and then decided to lawyer up after he already paid her $10 million. Why did he do that if he wasn't guilty of something? Doesn't that sound weird to you? Why would you give somebody $10 million if you hadn't done something? Kind of strange. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. You know, it's interesting. There are characters who have a messianic complex, who have a God complex. You know, it's interesting if you do a search, for example, George Soros God complex or Bill Gates God complex, you'll find some interesting search results. And some of these other folks are the same kind of way. And Duper's Delight is a thing. This whole just, you know, I don't really, I mean, I don't fully comprehend this mindset, and it is sick for sure. But you can see how the kidnapper, you know, kind of the inverse of Stockholm syndrome, the kidnapper in many cases genuinely fancies himself as the savior. It's a very sick and psychotic thing. So speaking of Patrick Pelu and Mike Gogan, you know, I mentioned Gogan being at the Route 91 Harvest Festival at the time in question. What was that, 2017? And so what was he doing there? What an amazing coincidence. And the reason why it's really kind of weird is because you can – there's an article over at ABC Fox, the Montana Right Now news station, the site is MontanaRightNow.com. The article is titled "The Man Behind Two Bear Air: Montana's Real Life Batman." And I've said it before. I think the Two Bear Air is kind of the reincarnation of things that happened in Mena, Arkansas. Can I prove that? No, but you know, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of strange stuff and things that don't quite make sense and make you go, hmm. So, the man behind Two Bear Air, Montana's real-life Batman. He fancies himself Batman. Or actually, the way I put it, you know, Christian Grey and Bruce Wayne. Because of, you know, if you know the story of the trafficking of the girlfriend, which is a very bizarre story, then, I mean, he sounds like he thinks he's Christian Grey. So that's weird. And this reminds me of Patrick Pelu and the Forbes article that was published back in March of 2021, written by none other than Cecilia Pelu. I don't know if there's a relation, but I just thought that was curious. An article about two doctors, including Patrick Pelu, and written by Cecilia Pelu. So the Forbes article is titled "From New York to Paris, Meet Two Heroic Doctors." And one of those is Patrick Pelu fighting COVID in France. Isn't that heartwarming? The guy who has the French president on speed dial is fighting COVID in France. So he's just everywhere. Every time there's a false flag strategy of tension, Gladio-styled episode, he's there in France, apparently. And he's also fighting COVID, obviously, because he's probably France's Batman. Who knows? Anyway, maybe not quite as wealthy as a Mike Gogan, but whatever. This is a little bit of where we are. We'll continue with this when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.